You're listening to another episode of the official British Motor Show podcast for 2022, brought to you by the Podcast Guys. Every car at the motor show looked its best. Sparkling exteriors and spotless interiors. It was a feast for the eyes to walk around the show this year. Someone who knows a thing or two about making cars look their best is our guest on this episode, Barry Francis. Host Adam Chambers spoke to Barry on day 4 of the show about Smart Cleanse, who deliver professional vehicle preparation and staffing solutions for the motor trade. Barry has been in the industry for almost 20 years and his experience shines through, if you'll excuse the pun, into his work with Smart Cleanse. He shared his thoughts on the 2022 British Motor Show with Adam in the back of the podcab. Enjoy the show.
I'm Adam Chambers. I'm at the British Motor Show 2022 and I'm here with
Barry Francis.
Let's get the engines going. With your first podcast, I believe.
It is my first podcast, yeah. Quite interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, it should be, yeah. So, what are you doing at the motor show here?
I'm here today because, one, I'm interested in cars. I'm a petrol head and all the other bits and pieces that goes with it. And secondly, I am here commercially because I'm a director of a valeting company.
Right.
And there are a lot of larger car groups here, smaller car groups, all of whom would be interested in the sort of service we provide, which is unfortunately not something I could come and do at the show because we would have...
I'm sure people wouldn't mind you cleaning the cars.
I'm sure they wouldn't. But it sort of gets our message across quicker by just walking around,
finding people and networking.
Yeah,
and it's great because we could all enjoy and appreciate that we're here personally because we love cars.
That's dead right. Yeah.
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 So what's your background and what got your engines moving for your appreciation of cars?
Well, basically, I've always been a fan of big boys' toys.
Right.
Yeah. So being a fan of
from
big
what
boys,
age, can you remember your like first car memory or?
Oh God, being driven around in my dad's Austin Cambridge A55.
I remember those. They're sort of burgundy. A lot of them weren't they? Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then, they were. And a weird, probably like a Brooklands green and.
Sort of
quite old-fashioned colours.
Yeah, well, it was an old-fashioned time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm no spring chicken.
Mm.
So it was a time when, you know, you had a choice of black or grey normally, and green was the exceptional colour, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's my first car memory. I've always been involved in things that sort of, as I say, describe themselves as big boys' toys. So I went from... basically plant hire, tool hire, that sort of thing, into cars. And I've stayed in cars, selling them, providing them.
What's your first employment in cars?
My first employment with cars was with a company that no longer exists called Saab. Yeah, and I was working...
Saab, you mean the Swedish company?
That's correct, yeah.
I hate to admit this, I didn't know they no longer existed.
Well, Vauxhall had enough of them. They sold them. Yeah?
Yeah.
Someone bought them who didn't know anything about cars, and that was the end of the day. You know,
right.
All over and finished. They still make aeroplanes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, they're pretty as well, but you don't get a lot of jobs selling those. So I sort of backed out of Saab.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went into a couple of other dealership type roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went into a finance role in cars.
Mm.
Yeah. And then. Back into the dealership side, you know, up to director level in primarily used cars, it's got to be said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I prefer used cars.
Right.
As a sow, it's cleaner. Yeah.
Why is that one?
Well, you actually have to rely on yourself rather than other people. So if the car's there, standing there, ready to sell, yeah, that's what you sell. You don't sell something that someone's got to make and deliver in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's an instant sale. And
correct.
I mean, I did 6 months of car sales, and there were some bits I liked, but one thing I liked was sharing people's second biggest purchase.
Oh, without
a doubt.
I find that
exciting. They're really excited, aren't they? Mm,
without a doubt.
Handing the keys over to somebody with a new car to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is really good to be able to satisfy someone's needs and desires as far as a car's concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah? You know, I mean, to be able, as you say, to hand over a set of keys and that to that particular person is a brand new car. Something they're going to go and play with, enjoy, get some utilisation. Yeah.
Mm.
You know, that's an important part of being able to enjoy the car market, if you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any particularly memorable sales as in customer satisfaction or a particular special car you've sold or?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's putting me on the spot a bit. Yeah, because there's a few that I've sold that I've been really glad about selling.
Mm.
Yeah. From a commercial point of view.
Well,
so that's cars I've got rid of.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, let's think about it from the customer satisfaction and the car side.
From the customer satisfaction side, it's the car that causes people most joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the car industry, sort of one of the things that is a joyful experience for most people is the acquisition of something like a motability car, because it changes their life. It gets them around.
Really?
If someone's just experiencing their first ever motability car, yeah,
it's,
they've
it's,
gone
it's,
from being less mobile to completely mobile.
Okay.
Yeah, and that is an expression of joy from them normally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've only worked for a used dealership, so I've never had that experience, but it's interesting that you say that.
Yeah. It is one of the most rewarding ones. The first time motability customer who really can't believe it normally, that they've got a car they never thought they'd be able to own, and then they've got mobility. They can get around. They can do things.
That's
great. They can see their family that they haven't seen for a while, and all sorts of bits and pieces. Mm. You know, that is a really rewarding experience. There are others like sort of memorable sales for me would be, I mean. Yeah, the most expensive cars. Yeah.
What's the most? Can you recollect it all, or have a wild guess at it? What it might be?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe not expensive, but exotic, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, most expensive probably a Bentley.
Yeah.
Sold one of those, and that was a lot of money. Yeah. But the sort of more exotic cars I used to love selling, were things like Ford STs and RSs.
Yeah.
They're a fantastic car to sell. Because, again, most of the time, yeah, the guys and girls that buy them are petrol heads, and it's an expression of joy.
Yeah.
Yeah? They love it when they've got them.
I think cars, but the your sort of normal marques had like, several models that had a bit more character than nowadays, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I'm just old and nostalgic. No.
Well, I do think cars are becoming homogenised. They're all becoming very round and very very aerodynamic.
It's a scientific kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they've got to realise that cars aren't scientific.
Mm.
Yeah?
Is there anything on the motability here on display? I haven't walked around.
No, there isn't.
I didn't think there was.
Yeah, motability are not represented here at all. But a lot of the dealer groups that are here will do motability, because motability is a service that's available within dealers as opposed to being something that's a standalone thing. You would go into a dealer that advertises motability, and then all of their range that's available within motability, they would tell you about and sort of tell you what you could get on what you would be able to drive away in.
Yeah, because it's becoming more common, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's more of us around, so, you know, the percentages haven't changed. There's just more of us around, and people with disabilities are still that percentage, so there's more of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No? Yeah. And it's something that, as a industry, I'm glad that we're involved with motability.
Yeah.
Because that means that, you know, again,
I think it's
the joy.
It's become more service orientated and customer driven, hasn't it, rather than trying to.
It has, yes. I mean, the motor trade from the first days when I was involved till now, which is 20 odd years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's now much, much more customer orientated. No one, but no one, should have any anxiety about going into a motor dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say that it is one of the high anxiety points of your life,
yeah,
changing a car. Well, in all honesty, I can tell you that sort of what happened 20 years ago and what happened even before that in the Arthur Daly days,
yeah,
yeah, that's illegal.
I don't think it was ever as bad as it's made out to be. Most people I've met seem to be quite genuine, honest people.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things about that the motor show's quite proud of is introducing people to the automotive industry, increasing the number of car lovers, but also introducing new people into the motor industry. And I know you're quite proud of your training. And do you offer apprenticeships? And what sort of advantages would you say there's for young people
in the motor industry? I think that
I know for yours is specifically balloting, if you want to talk about, but then. Yeah. Talk specifically or general, it's...
Yeah, I'll do both, yeah? Yeah. In the motor industry, I think that there's a huge opportunity for young people at the moment because with the change to electrification and other drivetrains, you're going to get the experience in the motor industry and the training in the motor industry that's going to stand you instead over a whole different range of power generation. Yeah, so there's obviously there's electric, there's hybrid, all the other bits and pieces go with that. And then on top of that, you've got incoming hydrogen, which will again be another leap forward. And that, in the scheme of developing a career for yourself, is especially a trade, is just a new environment.
Yeah.
It's not like being an electrician doing a building. It's not like anything like that. You're talking about high voltage electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And battery power as opposed to mains.
Well, it's going to become a lot cleaner, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
You haven't got as much oil involved in an electric engine.
No, you haven't. You still have to have lubricants, but not so many.
And it doesn't end up on the outside of the engine.
No, it doesn't.
Getting your hands dirty. Because I think that's a genuine thing that puts people off, is thinking it's a bit of an uncomfortable industry if you're in the mechanical side, or
I can understand that from an old school point of view.
You're in a drafty garage under an engine with dirty hands.
Mm-hmm. Most mechanics who work for main dealers, are in a very, very cosseted environment.
Mm.
They tend to work in air-conditioned workshops that are deep-cleaned every evening so that they don't be dirty, because you've got to remember that most new dealerships have viewing galleries for their mechanical areas so that people can see people working on their cars. So they are almost, not quite, as clean as the display areas.
Yeah.
Because they are on display to customers.
That's a nice investment, particularly in this hot weather.
Yeah, and it has changed the environment for mechanics and the service side of the industry, because, of course, they are now on show and they are customer-facing as much as anything else.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing. They've had, on the service side and on the sales side, we've had the introduction of video selling, video selling and video fault finding have been a big advance in recent years. If, for instance, someone's got additional work that needs to be done on their vehicle, there's nothing more telling than actually physically showing them it.
Yeah.
And rather than taking a car outside, opening it up, taking it apart and saying that needs doing, they can take a film of it while they're servicing it.
Well, these are additional parts of the automotive industry that young people forget that videographers, social media, it's not just selling cars and fixing cars.
No, the motor industry spawns a lot of that sort of ancillary trades, ancillary support all the rest of it. I myself work in a valeting organisation, and that valeting organisation, of course, prepares cars for customers. Yeah. So they're the last thing that's done to a car before a customer gets it. Mm. So that, again, is a support industry. Mm. And that industry needs a high level of skill. It's not just about washing a car out on your drive and
like
thinking.
It's not like the Karate Kid wipe on wipe.
No,
off,
it's not. It's not. And of course, they do get involved with serious chemicals. Mm. Yeah, because they're used to clean cars with. And also, in later days, we've been involved with things like ceramic coatings. Right. And things like that. So it gets very technical. Mm. Yeah. So it's again, because the industry itself is quite technical now, there's now a technical support to the industry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That buzzer's made me lose my train of thought a little bit. What have you thought to the motor trade as a
career for someone to go into?
Not the motor trade, the motor show today. Have you enjoyed it? Exceeded expectations?
It's exceeded my expectations.
Well, that's great.
It is a great experience. Yeah, there are not just motors on show. There is entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of entertainment. I was amazed at how much external entertainment there is for people.
I think everybody involved was just trying to add a bit of fun.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the popcorns machine to go with the sort of the genre of what we do. There's games for people, isn't there? And there's driver experiences upstairs. There's the test drive of the electric scooters and bikes.
Yes.
The games. I don't know what you've seen that's particularly impressed you as adding to the whole experience as an event.
Scale Electrics Challenge internally. Externally, you've got all the displays by professional display teams doing things that are, well, you wouldn't want normal people to do them, let's put it that way. Yeah, there are a bit risky for normal people to do, but a tremendously entertaining view. And instead of watching it on the telly, you're watching it live.
Yeah,
it's great.
You brought a friend with you who's non-motor trade. What are their thoughts on it? It's similar to yourself.
He's still wandering around outside with his mouth open.
We've lost him, haven't we? Right. I always ask people, this is a bit... The radio station stole the idea off me, but I always like to ask people, what music do you like to drive to?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I've got a really eclectic taste in music.
Right.
Yeah. I like everything from classical right through to reggae and all sorts of silly, silly stuff. But realistically, when I'm driving, rock music.
So you're Batman Turner Overdrive and all that.
Really,
kind of
yeah. Bit of classic rock. Bit of classic rock, stuff. Yeah. Batman Turner Overdrive, bit of Zeppelin, bit of Deep Purple, bit of Queen. Yeah, I'm there.
AC/DC, all that. Nice one. Well, I think that wraps it all up, unless there's anything you'd like to particularly add.
No, I'm great. Thank you very much for having me. It's great. Thank you.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the official British Motor Show podcast for 2022, brought to you by the Podcast Guys. We hope to see you in 2023.